Hi, you're listening to my favourite Elliott Smith song. This is the podcast that's all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. Now, firstly, I just want to start by saying thank you so much for coming back after a small break. Some poor scheduling on my part meant I couldn't get an episode out sooner, but I'm back now, you'll be pleased to hear. And in this episode, I'm trying to make up for that gap by having two times the amount of guests we'd normally have. So in this two for the price of one deal, we have the musicians and songwriters Jessica Leigh Mayfield and Seth Avett speaking to us. While they both made their names separately, Jessica as a solo artist and Seth primarily in the band The Avett Brothers, I spoke to them together because a few years ago they released an Elliott Smith covers album. Perhaps unsurprisingly, that album's called Jessica Leigh Mayfield and Seth Avett Sing Elliott Smith. And in this interview, we talk about that album, as well as pets and their individual picks for their favourite song. So you even get two tracks thrown in as well. So without further ado, I'll hand you over to the lovely Jessica and Seth. Hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you quickly again on the other side.
My favorite Elliott Smith song is A Distorted Reality Is Now a Necessity to Be Free. From a Basement on a Hill is my favorite album, and that song, for some reason, whenever it's like the last song, and when it comes around to it, I get really excited when I'm listening to the album and I know it's coming to that song. And then when I put that song on, it makes me feel better.
My mama told me, baby, stay clean, there's no in between.
There have been so many times in my life, too, where I've just been kind of spinning on a rabbit wheel. I forget that if I just go and, like, listen to my baby 7-inch Elliott Smith records and, like, put those on and, like, kind of sit there and have to, like, change every time, like, a song ends. And sometimes I'll just sit there and play that same song, like, a bunch of times. And I really like the first version that wasn't on From a Basement on a Hill because of there's like this really cool, weird guitar solo thing that kind of comes in that isn't on the album.
I fit poorly in a razor side, dollared up in virgin white.
And tell us why From a Basement on the Hill is your favorite Elliott Smith album.
It's like, it's one whole thing. You listen to it as a whole, but the songs by themselves stand alone. Seth and I've talked about this a lot. He's going to join me on this because we've talked about this a lot.
It feels like the most developed work to me.
Right.
It doesn't feel, not, and this has nothing, like, not to say the earlier stuff is not developed. It's developed emotionally, but I feel like From a Basement on the Hill is like, it's like this ultimate culmination of his emotional output and his ability at all the instruments, at the drum kit, at the piano, it's all like woven together in a different way.
I remember you said something to me about how that's a preview even of how amazing that album is, but that's a preview of what he could have done later on in life too.
Right.
So when you listen to that album, it's amazing. And like Seth's saying, all the different instruments and every, like just the way that album is composed.
It feels more three-dimensional in a way.
Yeah, you know? It definitely feels like it was composed or put together.
Right.
And, but yeah, when I listen to that too, that album, I get excited thinking about what could have come after.
Right.
As well,
it's kind of Hendrix-esque in that way. I think about the stuff that Hendrix was doing near the end of his life. It's like, my gosh, where was this going? You know, it's getting weirder. It's getting more multi-tiered. More layers are happening, and there's just so much more ability.
And now, Seth, we'll come to you. Can you tell us your pick for your favorite Elliott Smith song?
So my favorite Elliott Smith song this morning is A Passing Feeling.
Everything is gone, but they are gone, the best of a show. And I'm stuck here. Passing
two things come to mind initially, and one would be like the tagline, I guess. I don't know if it's the chorus or what, but just the line, I'm stuck here waiting for a passing feeling. I'm always kind of drawn to lines that are, they're just one little line, but they have a way of speaking to such a huge part of the human experience. I mean, obviously, like everything he wrote was like a really personal sentiment and specific to whatever he was dealing with at the time. But it speaks to everyone. Like it's a universal phrase. It's a specific phrase that speaks to everyone.
Are there any other lyrical turns like that passing feeling line that you can think of from Elliot's other music?
I've always loved like the a dying man in a living room.
Yeah,
that's a dying great. Man in a... So it's so good. He's big on turning a phrase. It seems like that one would be like a shining example that jumps out really quick. But I don't think it would take long, especially in his later work, to find a bunch of that. In the city I built up and pay it out. I'm stuck here waiting for a passing feeling. There's a lot of lyrical stuff that I really love in the song. I love the end where it says something about took a long time to stand, took an hour to fall.
That's right. You know, I love that song.
It's so good.
Something you made me just think of too with the, I feel like songwriters in general, when they, and Elliott Smith was big on this, like when you write things that come from yourself and are about yourself and how you feel, and you don't think about what other people, like yeah. You don't think about writing songs for other people, that's when you end up speaking to everyone.
No doubt. Yeah.
When you said that, I was like, hey, yeah. You know, actually, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a perfect parallel to like living your life, because if in your life you try to like, tell people you love how they ought to live or whatever, it has the opposite effect.
If you spend all your time with thinking about what other people think about you.
The outro, this big swooping outro, you know, da 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 da. So I'm really drawn to cyclical riffs, you know, like riffs that just go around and around and around.
It's funny that you say that, because I was thinking that in my head, like you're both, like we're both making the, like he was making the circle gesture. It's got that. Like the whole song too.
Yeah. It's rolling along. The whole thing has a kind of a pulse to it, and then at the end, it just breaks into this outro. That for me, I mean, it could go on for like literally, it could go on for probably 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, and I would not have any idea how much time. the outro of that song turns me into a hippie, basically, because I lose track of time. I want it to keep going. I don't want it to stop. That's one of the big highlights of that. And that's of that song and the record for me, because it takes me somewhere that I really love going to when I'm listening to music.
And we can move now to talk about the Elliott Smith covers album you guys released back in 2015. Just start by telling us how you chose the songs to go on that album, because that must have been pretty difficult in itself.
A lot of people like have asked me, you know, like how did we pick the songs and what that process was like. And it's so funny because we really just, I think we got excited about the idea of making the album together. And we just started like, we were just listening to Elliott Smith, and then we would like send each other like, let's do this one, let's do that one, let's do this one.
We didn't have like a real process of there being there was no like qualification process. It was only like, I know a couple of times I thought, God, this would be great with Jessica's voice. And I feel like with Jessica, I remember a couple of times where she was like, you should sing this one. And then we let the conversation sort of dictate which ones we would try. And there were like a few outtakes, like two or three outtakes that for whatever reason just didn't feel like they had the same kind of magic, but there's, obviously there's plenty of brilliant material to choose from.
You're obviously both such big fans of Elliott's work, so Were you always conscious about having to be respectful of his songs when you're working with them?
Yeah, we were
kind of crushed by it at times, right?
When we played the shows, it's weird because neither of us get nervous at our own shows because we do that a lot.
But and if we mess up our own songs, who cares?
Who cares? Exactly. At every single show, I mean, we were both like, I was like, we were feeling each other's nervousness. Like you could see it on each other. You could see like
so
the
weird.
Shaking and like looking at Seth and seeing him shake and then like him looking at me. And then the idea that we're going to like walk out and sing Elliott Smith songs. And it's like, I really don't want to mess these songs up because I really respect them. And I really, some nights I felt nauseous.
We were basically declaring ourselves, you know, temporary stewards of his music, which is like, you know, could be seen as horribly egotistical.
We're like, let's check this out. You know, this is our representation. And then someone's like, you're doing it wrong. Or
right.
Something. And it's like, I don't know.
Are we in a position to say that we're doing it right?
Like, is that the right chord?
Yeah. We felt the pressure for sure. But it was balanced out by the joy of playing his songs because they're so good.
I remember when the Elliott Smith tour ended, I was like, oh man, I got to go back to playing my own songs again.
Yeah, these songs aren't near as good.
Yeah. I just want to like play Elliott Smith songs with my friend. I don't want to go back to work.
Yeah, you're right. That's very true. And one last thing on this concept. And I want to be careful not to, like, you know, postulate on what Elliott Smith might have thought about it or anything. But we did have the honor of meeting some of his friends through the process and family members and whatnot. And from everything I've heard about him as a person, I don't think he would have wanted us to treat them like they were museum articles behind glass, you know. And he might have even thought that it was kind of funny that we sweated it so much.
And lastly, Jessica, you probably have the strongest Elliott Smith credentials out of anyone because you've actually named a pet after him, haven't you?
Yeah, I named my dog Elliott. I've had him for 9 years, and I have his name tattooed on my wrist as well. So I have an Elliott tattoo, and he's the best dog ever.
Thanks very much then to Jessica Leigh Mayfield and Seth Avitt for being kind enough to take the time to speak to me for this episode. And definitely do check out their covers album if you can. That's pretty much it for this episode. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with an interview with the singer-songwriter B.T. Wolf. I'll finish finally this time by saying thanks for listening again. And if you're enjoying it, please do like and share if you can. See you soon.